الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وهديناه النجدين. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. The buzurgs of the past, after Ramadan, between Ramadan and the next Ramadan, half of the time they should spend in remorse and sorrow that they did not spend the Ramadan, the previous Ramadan, properly. And really, all of us, if we have to think, we hardly still know what Ramadan is. Forget the actual practicing and benefiting and reaping all the great, great benefits. And then the next half, they should start preparing for the next Ramadan. Allah give us also tawfiq. We are very close now to the next Ramadan. This is the month of Jamadiul Ukhra. And then Rajab comes, and from the first night of Rajab, the first of Rajab is already a great night. And then the month of Rajab is one of the sacred months in which rewards of actions are multiplied so greatly, compounded so much. And then is Shaban, another very great month. Then is the month of Ramadan, that is the actual highlight of the year. And then Shawwal, then again the 3 months of Ashhur-e-Hurum. So it's a great, great period is coming. No one of us know whether we were lifted then, but we make our niyat to reap the full benefits. Inshallah, according to our niyat, Allah Ta'ala will give us the reward also. Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. The niyat of a believer is better than his amal. We all know, we come for namaz. Nobody makes the niyat of making a weak namaz, namaz with no concentration, devotion. We all come in the hope that we'll make a good namaz. But when it comes, we all know that how weak we are. So our niyat is much more better than our action. The intention is much more better than our action. And with intentions, we can reach where we can never reach with our actions. Great, great buzurg awliya, they have reached great, great heights just by intention. Otherwise, they also got the same 24 hours in a day, the same 7 days in a week, same 12 months in a year. But by the intention, just like that one where it comes in the Hadith Sharif, when there was a drought in the time of Bani Israel, one person, he made this intention that if these mountains were wheat, then I should have taken that and distributed to all the poor people. He was sincere in his intention. Allah informed the Nabi of the time to tell him he's got all that reward. And it's just that intention of his. So we can reach very far with our intentions. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahab, Damat Barakatum, explained to us that the intention is a person will get his reward accordingly. But how to know, like that, any person can just make any intention? That how do we know that our intention is sincere and true? Hazrat said that, for example, we see somebody, He gives a million rain in the path of Allah for any good cause. 2 million, 5 million rain, 100,000, 500,000 rain. We are poor. We are only earning 5,000 rain a month. We can't give that. So we say, I can't give. But we can give 1 rain. We can give 5 rain. So how much we can do, that we do, that is we are sincere in our intention. We hear of the Buzurgs who made whole night namaz. For us, we know we are weak, but at least we make till the time that we now feeling tired. At least 2 rakats we can make, but we just say that, no, I'm very weak. Those were great Buzurgs. And if I was also, if I had that strength, I should also have done that. But 2 rakats we can do. So how much we can do, we should do. And this is a great principle we should try and learn in our lives, that in all matters, good matters also, how much we can do, do so much. What is beyond us, don't worry about that. How much we can do, we should do. When Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was tempted by Zulaikha, he knew the doors are locked and there is no way out for him. But how much he could do to run till the door, so much he did. Allah did all the rest. Allah opened not only the doors of the palace, but Allah opened his doors till Jannat. Blessed him with Nabuwat. Hey, make him the wazir of Egypt. And what a position Allah gave. How much he could do, he did. Allah did the rest. So we also in all matters, how much we can do, we should do. And don't fall back. Shaitan says, where are you? You out of the question. What are you going to do? But how much we can do, we do. And Allah Ta'ala, من تقرب إلي شبرا تقربت إليه ذراعا. A person who comes a hand span to me, I go an arm's length to him. A person who comes an arm's length, I go 2 arm's length. A person who comes walking, I go running to him. Of course, Allah is free of all these things of walking and running. It means Allah's rahmat comes rushing. You go towards Allah Ta'ala. And on the other hand, I know I'm a weak person. I commit lot of gunas. And I'm always involved in gunas. So I can't keep away from gunas. Now, there also how much we can keep away. Do how much we can do. Allah will save us from the rest. I find myself in such an environment, like today the whole world, what the environment is all about. All gunas, temptations everywhere, all the time temptations. How much we can block ourselves, save ourselves. Do make that little effort. And Allah will save us in such a way that we cannot even imagine. One Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may our lives be sacrificed for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They asked such questions which are so pertinent for us today, after about 1400-1500 years later, but they are the questions that we should have asked. They asked the questions and we got the answers. Now it is just a matter of for us to make amal. Here also, one ploy of shaitan is that what is ready for us to do, we don't do. And we try and dig into all other things. The biryani is ready, you are invited. And the dasturkhan is laid out, it's all there, it's just a matter of eating it. Now it's not necessary for you to go and grow the chicken and the sheep and slaughter it and bring it and cook it and all that. It's ready, our deen is ready. Now we want to go and do all other things. We want to find out about all other things. For us now is just to practice the deen. And Allah reward our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu, tabi'in, 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 all the great ulama, how they have simplified, presented deen for us. It's ready now. And now we don't have to go and make all lot of tahqiqat. And we don't have to find out all lot of things. What we have to do is amal. Wal khayru kathir. And lot, the whole dasturkhan is full with all different types of delicacies. So many, so many. You won't be able to eat all that also. So don't just sit back. Wa fa'iluhu qaleel. But the doers of good are very few in all stages, all ages. The good was there. And it was easy, but the doers of it were very few. Shaitan takes us our mind to go and find out about this, that, and do all others. For us, it's straightforward. The deen is ready. It is just for us to practice. It is how much we will practice on the deen, and that is the enjoyment and the fruit of deen we will get. So the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man najah? What is our salvation? How can we protect ourselves? What is the way out? Fitnas out from all four sides. We are enveloped in fitnas. Wherever you see fitna. All the time there is difficulty. What is the way out? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the answer, and today with all the fitnas that are carrying on, and all the distractions, and all that we feel is difficult to live, Allah will make it very easy for us. We just have to do that. The first thing, amlik alayka lisanak, that control your tongue. That is the first thing that we have to learn. And the control of the tongue is literally also, and today on the cell phone, all the messages all the time. We are all on different groups, and just somebody sends something, and we just can't resist. I have to say something. I have to put my share also there. So just resist from all that. In fact, go out of all the groups. One wise person, a friend of ours, from Lodium, mashallah, very good Jamaat worker, some time ago now, he said he also went on the group, whatever, different groups and that. So he said, what funny messages started coming. That now I'm going here, I'm going there, I got red shoes on today, this I got. He said, I don't need all this in my life and I must read all this. So he cut out all that. So if we just cut it out, then you are free already from so many fitnas. And this temptation that I have to put my butt also. And today we don't think also. And so irrelevant things, and sometimes so stupid things also. But I must put my share. So to learn to control our tongue, this is a very great thing. And control of the tongue in all matters, husband and wife or any friends, we're having an argument also. So if you don't have the control of the tongue, you are urged from inside that say this also. Remind this person of what happened 10 years ago. You reminded that person every year, every month, and now remind him again. All those things. To learn to control the tongue is a very, very great gift. Now, if a person has got a firearm and licensed also, and he knows how to control it well and good, he can use it in a good way, then we've got a tongue. And this damage of the tongue is worse than the firearm also. The firearm, one person might lie dead. With the tongue you can pronounce the words of talaq. And after that, your little children are orphans with the parents living also. And they become delinquents with the best guides they can have, the parents. Everything. And not only is one person dead, generations are destroyed. Each child now, when he grows up, what is his condition? Nobody to really give him that love, that care, that guidance. The parents now, they are just looking at their own motives and things. So the tongue, to control the tongue. Amlik alayka lisanak, wal yasa'aka baytak, and let your house be sufficient for you. Control your tongue, and today in the house also, today with the cell phone, shaitan has made his mean. If we use it for good, very good, but very few of us are those that will use it for the good. Otherwise, it is used for so much of evil. The temptation on it is so great. Even you go on something normal, properly, but you don't know where you suddenly got led away with. And now you're wondering where you are now, and how much time you have spent on there. So to be the seclusion of the house, like, for example, i'tikaf, inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq in Ramadan for i'tikaf. The seclusion, the seclusion is not just the physical body that we come in the masjid to seclude our mind. Dil mera ho jaye ek maidane ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu. That everything is out of our heart. Only Allah is in our heart. That is the seclusion, that is the object of the i'tikaf. And in our house also we should stay like that. We should leave the house only of necessity. 5 times namaz is a necessity. If we have to go for hajj, it's a necessity for us, hajj. Or the things that are necessary for us, our dini matters, our dunya matters, to earn our rozi, etc. And here we also get the indication, which many wives also have a complaint, that you are supposed to be back by 5 o'clock, you're coming home 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. So, in other words, finish your work, you've gone to work, whatever, return back home. You went to masjid, finish namaz and that, and you set for ta'aleem, whatever. But don't get engaged in all the talks which take place outside the masjid. And and don't get distracted by anything. Go home straight away. You have left your business for your work, for some other work or whatever, for namaz also. Finish your namaz, your necessities. Go back to your business. So we should be back again. That should be sufficient for us. We should feel comfortable. Very fortunate are those people who find ease and comfort. Like the wife, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah has made, لَتَسْكُنُ إِلَيْهَا. You find sukoon in your wife. In a house also is the same purpose, that in your house you find peace of mind. That not that you feel ghabra. You just can't stay in your house. You just have to find some excuse to go out of the house. To be in the house is a great, great thing. A person finds he's saved from what advice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fitness which we can't think about, you will get saved from. Today if you just go out, just the billboards, how lot of a fitna they are. The people who are walking on the street, what fitna? Oh, everywhere they just fitna. Where does the question come of holiday, going to beaches, going to other places where all the fitna exists? Be in your house. Be comfortable, stay comfortably. And really, when shaitan works on a person and shaitan captures that person, then his mind goes completely haywire. For example, a person works hard during the year, making money, etc. And the money, the object of money really is to find sukoon, to make yourself comfortable in your life. Not just to hoard the money, not just to pile it up, not to waste it or anything. So a person is earning properly and now he makes his house comfortable. He makes the kitchen such for his wife that she feels very nice and happy in her kitchen. You make your bedroom the best. You make your bathroom the best. You make your garden the best. Now when the time comes, you get 3 weeks leave from work. And you can use all this. You can enjoy it now. Now you leave all that alone and you can stay somewhere in a chalet or somewhere where there is no facility. Now just think, where our akal? We just like pass it off, we laugh it off. But really how shaitan makes us stupid. You prepared so much that house that exactly as you would like to have it. Everything you try your best, you make it comfortable for you. Every detail you have done. When you got the time to enjoy it, now you go away. And then on a Sunday, for example, commonly also, we are free, or Sunday is a public holiday. So you leave your kitchen alone, you leave your house alone, you have made a beautiful garden, you spend money on maintaining the garden, every detail also you look after, but that one Sunday, now you go for a picnic. And you go a picnic somewhere under the trees you are sitting and you took some food, and now you forgot, for example, you took your gas stove to warm the things or whatever, you forgot to take your matches. Now the food is cold, now you make yourself happy that it's nice to eat cold food. Whereas at home, all the amenities you have got, everything of the best. So how shaitan makes us stupid. So to, well, yasa'aka baytak, your house is sufficient for you. And you feel comfortably, fortunate, it's a ni'mat of Allah. That person who finds ease, comfort in his house. I can remember when we were still young, my neighbor was my ustad, Hafiz Muhammad Sallusab. My ustad also is my neighbor also. And ulama, till today also, those days also, there were good, well-wishing people who should serve the ulama. And people who are like living on farms, particularly on those days. And they've got a lot of a nice, easy life. They should invite the ulama to come spend a few days there, to rest, etc. Not anywhere else, just on the farm there. So Hafiz Sahib, he told them that now Allah has given me, it was a small house. The house, very small house, But Allah has made me so comfortable, so I don't even go there. Allah has given me all my comfort. My masjid is right just a few steps away. I get my 5 times namaz, jamaat. What jamaat I get here? So why must I go to any other place? So a person is very lucky whom Allah makes his house comfortable. And you can see the height of stupidity and idiocy and wastage when we prepare the house so much, and when the time to enjoy it, we go away to some other place, some other foreign place. So some other place which is undesirable in every way, we go there. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we will yasa'aka baytak and wabki ala khati'atik, and to cry on your sins. If we will do this, even in these times of fitna, if it's not yet the time or it's not possible to go to the mountains or to go somewhere else, just make amal on this and your full protection Allah will give you. You can be surrounded with all fitnas. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah used to give this very beautiful example. He says when Switzerland can make a watch that even if it is 2,200 meters deep in water, it's waterproof. Forget a drop of water, the vapor of water also doesn't go in that watch. Completely waterproof. So Allah, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us that prescription that in spite of all the fitnas around us, everything, we will be fitna proof. If we just make amal on this, then a person, though he's living in society, but he will be completely free of all the harms of society and all the fitnas which are carrying on. So to control our tongue is very important. Whoever we are speaking, wherever we are speaking, the control of the tongue, and that needs effort. Otherwise, from inside, nafs, shaitan, he urges you, blurt out this. You have to say, how can't you talk? And even people say, haven't you got a tongue in your jaws? Can't you give him an answer? Can't you also, he told you one thing, can't you tell him 10 things? People will also tell you. But to learn to control the tongue is a very, very great thing. The second thing, that our houses be sufficient for us. And the third thing, to cry on our sins. A person who will do that and really to feel guilty. Today and also the environment and life has been made such that you must make yourself happy. People are doing all the wrong things. But for example, we were coming now, see some people walking on the road, poor people. Now you think this person, most probably the way it looks, he hasn't got iman. What is he living for? He hasn't perhaps got a home also, or maybe just a little shanty. What is he living for? What is his object of life? How fortunate aren't we that our iman teaches us the object of life, akhirah. And that then we make preparations for that also. But if a person hasn't got anything, they just poor people picking up something, going, taking it there. Just people who are just recycle. What's the life of the poor people? No purpose in life, no object in life. They're just wasting their time like that. And how many millions of people are just carrying on like that throughout the world? Whether it is the poor person walking on the street or rich people building in mansions, but no purpose in life. That we have to prepare for death, for life after death, no thought. And we're just making ourselves happy, having some parties, especially this part of the year, all the different parties and get-togethers and all, and what wrong things we are doing. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the purpose of life. So to cry over one's sins is a very great ni'mat. And that person to whom Allah opens his sins, and a person will find sins in his deen, my namaz, how weak my namaz is. And he'll cry about his namaz. Zikr, what zikr I'm making. And a person will cry that I'm hardly making any zikr. And what is the quality of my zikr? Just for my and everyone's inspiration, one student told me, he asked me a little bit guidance whether he's doing right. He says, I get up 2-3 o'clock in the morning, make my tahajjud. After Fajr, I sit for all the program, make my zikr, I read 100 times Durood Sharif, 500 times Istighfar, and the whole days all his surahs he's reading, and he's a student. Asked him, how much you sleep? He said, about five and a half hours. You don't feel tired, you don't feel a strain in the class that you can't concentrate. He said, no, I feel fresh. So just imagine a student, young person, maybe about 18, 19 years old, but how much he achieves. Another student, every day 300 times, Durood-e-Ibrahimi, the whole full Durood, and so much more. Then there are students who are keeping Saum-e-Wisal, every day they're keeping Roza. And I ask them, don't you feel weak in your for your sabaks, for your mutta? That is more important, you have come to study. But the managing, there are those who are doing Saum-e-Dawood, every second day they are keeping Roza. Others, Monday, Thursday, Rozas, regularly they keep. So much of Amal they do, and many people, not only in the madrasa, all the madrasas, there are students, and everywhere there are people. So we also should get encouraged, and do as much Amal, and no matter what we are doing, really, a person should feel, it's still not sufficient. And when a person sees all this, then he has to cry, where am I? I'm still nowhere whatsoever. My zikr is so little. The quality of my zikr is zero. We are minus. Sometimes what bad thoughts come while I'm reading Durood Sharif. Then I think, Toba. I'm reading Durood Sharif. And what thoughts have come to me now? So a person cries over his gunas. A person who will do this in spite of all fitnas all around him, Allah will protect that person. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. At the moment, if we can't make hijrat, don't go crying and moaning, oh, there's so much fitnas, we can't go, where must we go to? You can do these amal. And you do this, your hijrat is done already. All the object of hijrat, Allah has put it in here. Your house is sufficient for you. You are cut off from all the fitnas. You're controlling your tongue. And you're crying over your gunas. What is your position by Allah Ta'ala? Allah give us tawfiq. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has shown us two ways in everything. And it is up to us which way we want to go. We want to go on the right side, and that leads us towards in this world. Amira Salihan min Zakarina wa Unsa wa huwa mu'min. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. In this world, man amila salihan min zakarin wa unsa. What a comfortable life. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi translated that mazedar zindagi. Now we unfortunately again, we think mazedar zindagi is Western way of life. All that filth and dirt of this. Imagine where how we have categorized things. How we have put things in various departments. The worst, filthiest things, we regard that as enjoyment. Where can that be? Mazedar zindagi, you are living, you are fulfilling the commands of Allah, you are living with izzat, respect, honor, you are doing all the right things, Allah is giving you your food, good, healthy food, not junk food. Today we think junk food is there, when you're eating junk food, now you are somebody. Hey, when you are eating good, healthy food, not necessarily also biryanis and roast, but good, healthy food. When Allah Ta'ala in fact gives you enjoyment in water, and you are not a stupid idiot that you find enjoyment in the juices. And what are these juices? These juices are just water with chemicals. Nothing of the juice. And how they bluff up 100% fruit blend, or whatever other things, there is nothing in there. It is just, and in fact one friend who packs also juices, he says that when these people, the companies come in, and you got like pure orange juice, they will add chemicals and make it a pure peach juice, or pure some other juice, just by the chemicals. So it is just water with chemicals. And if you can enjoy pure water, what to say of that person? The goodness of water. So in all things, Allah Ta'ala guide us to the right path. Just a few examples. For example, wedding, nikah. One is a nikah that we do it the right way, according to sunnah. Inna azaman nikahi barakat. The most barakat in a nikah. Aisuruhu ma'una. Easy, simple way, no expenses, very easy. And how many nikahs now? Also, alhamdulillah, whom Allah gives tawfiq, They are making, they went and proposed, everything agreed, they made the nikah finish there, properly, and the barakat that comes in there. On one occasion, in Saharanpur, there was a ijtima, and Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali told Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, you have these two young boys, and you have got two young daughters. They were close, the families, he knew the family. So Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib and Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi. And you have got two young, if you make the nikah, there is an ideal occasion. Or the whole ijtima, how many people, etc. So Hazrat also thought it's suiting and fitting. So he agreed and they made the nikah without even asking the girls. The father has the right to make his daughter's nikah without even asking them. And the daughters have the right when they come to know if they want to refuse, they can refuse, we don't accept. They have the right also. Shariat gave them that right. And then the nikah was made. Then Hazrat went home and he told his wife, daughters, nikahs are made. And they also, they knew, my father will never make our nikah at any other wrong place or undesirable place. They were also happy. Then and he said, make their wadaigi, same night. So the mother said, but they haven't got clothes. So Hazrat Shaykh said, what would, are they walking around naked? Haven't they got the clothes they got are good enough. You don't even need any other clothes. And Hazrat Shaykh, if I'm not mistaken, had 9 daughters. And he says, for each nikah, I made so much effort and on the nikah of my children. My daughters, one was Maulana Talha, one son, Hazrat had. On the nikah, how much it is to make 2 rakats of sunnat namaz. 2 rakats sunnat namaz is sunnat. And nikah is sunnat. Okay, so how much I should, for 2 sunnat rakats, I have to make wudu, I have to see that there's a musalla, my clothes I got on my body, etc. Whatever preparation. For nikah, just that preparation. Not all this big story, why, which direction have we gone? We are gone completely. And also one very important thing, Allah give us all tawfiq to make amal, that it's on such occasions and every day-to-day life, we also will think, people tell us also, now this is a small matter, man, why are you being so strict? Why are you being so hard? But this one small matter, where it has led us today. Today we have gone into those weddings where we are doing all the Christian things. We are doing all the Hindu things. Just now one fatwa I read and the answer that the Hindu, they have this, one is the Mehndi party they have and Haldi party, which is one of their religious things. And many of our people are doing it also. And it's got a religious connotation, how dangerous isn't that? And we are putting that as the foundation of our nikah. And what is nikah? And nikah means sunnati. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. What a serious warning. But today, Allahu Akbar, one lady, she has passed away, Allah grant her jannah. She says that, I know the ladies where I went, one function like this. That she says they, for namaz, they can't stand and read namaz. Legs are too sore, back is sore. And for eating also, they can't sit down. They have to sit on a chair. But you see, I saw them dancing. Actually dancing. Eh? Can we imagine it? And they got cross with her, why you came here? She went and she saw this. And she was also sorry, why she went to... it's unbelievable. I hope it's all a wrong report, that it's not true. But our good ladies and old ladies, it's a common, in many places they have this dance parties and they are dancing also. All the wrong things we are doing. So a nikah, which was a sublime thing, the 3 ayats of the Quran Sharif that are recited, each one deals with taqwa. The one ayat, Ya ayyuhan nas, for people, Allah says, have fear of Allah Ta'ala. The 2 ayats, Allah is addressing the believers. But in that ayat, for all people. So the basis of marriage is supposed to be taqwa. And the one hadith which is normally recited, An nikahu min sunnati, and sunnat is not a joke also. And sunnat is not a right thing. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam immediately warned about it. فَمَا رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. And we can see which direction. What all these wrong things, the Mehndi party, and how many for the whole week, and sometimes more than that also, for shopping, going to Dubai, going to London, going to Karachi. And then what happens to such a nikah? When it goes in that direction, Then the nikah also, one nikah in the UK, where they made the nikah in a helicopter, where the qadi, the person who was going to make the nikah, the imam, and the groom, the parties, they went in, and before landing, they already talaq was given. So all this, how many other places, well, big halls they prepare. Unfortunately, what are called Muslim countries, and this is what is Islam. All these big halls, and for 1 week, one nikah in Karachi, whatever can be done was done. And at the end, now the question arose whether the nikah took place. The whole thing is for ijab qabool, the khutbah and the nikah. And they were all, they couldn't decide, they just couldn't think. Sometimes in our namaz, if I make two or three rakat, they make two sajdas or one sajda, and we get so confused. But yeah, and all of them, sometimes after namaz, how much? Somebody say three rakat, somebody say four rakat. That nikah they didn't know. So where are we gone? So the minute we move a little bit away from sunnah, where we go and land? And then again, all that, the honeymooning, and all that evil, what goodness can come of such a nikah? And then, unfortunately, the divorce rate, which is so high today. When we were young, we knew if there was somebody had divorce took place, it was like a mayyat took place. Like somebody has passed away, like that. Today it's nothing, it's a small matter. That a girl also demands her divorce. And many times they say, for no reason, I just don't want to be in marriage. I just want to be on my own. Allah guide us. So we have got two directions. A beautiful way according to sunnah, and that way of nikah, and that wonderful way you get your wonderful children, you bring them up nicely, a beautiful home, and you are at home with your children, training them, teaching them. How good. Education, there are two lines of education. One is right from, once in Malawi we were traveling, and I saw on the side of the road written that there's a nursery from zero age. In other words, the child is just born and you hand the child over to them. Now the mother can go back to work and she can do what she want to. So they will spoil and destroy the child right from the beginning. And if mothers haven't got time for their own children and to see the first smile of the child, to see the first step the child takes, and to teach the child, when the child speaks, the child says Allah or any other good word, all that, and we hand them over to somebody else. And then that education today, where it has landed, where it started with a little bit of knowing how to read and write, how to count, subtract, and add, etc. At least so much you have to know. Today it has landed with Darwin's theory of evolution. Landed us right into Jahannam, with kufr like that, with the Big Bang theory, and now even worse, that a male marries a male, and a female marries a female, and all these things. And in all our schools it's taught, and we who are sitting in the masjid, our children attending that school, Allah says, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourself and your family from the fire of Jahannam. These children will come and grab us by our throats on the day of Qiyamah. That it is these very parents who put us into those schools. And they make sure we go to school. And they insist that we go to school. If we are, for whatever reason, acceptable or not, but at least undo this harm which is being taught. All this kufriyat, speak to the children. Make sure, question them, discuss with them, talk with them, that all this is gone out from them. And then, if better than that, if the little that we do need of worldly education, do homeschooling, and that also monitor it properly, so that we know what is happening there also. And in any case, dunya's education doesn't come anywhere near Quran and Hadith education. One great muhaddith, his whole life, different narration, up to about 70 years are mentioned. He was a great muhaddith. In our time, we will say that he was fit to be the greatest shaykhul hadith of our time, in the greatest Darul Uloom, or in takhassus fil hadith, or the highest position in hadith. But his whole life, he only taught Quran Sharif to little children. يعني سيد حديث خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة the best when النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام said the best is the one who teaches Quran, then what can be better than that. He says that hadith is hadith, is a tashri of the of Quran Sharif. But when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that ashrafu ummati hamalatul Quran, the most honorable people in my ummat are those who carry the Quran, who teach the Quran, who learn the Quran. So this education, that is what we have to go. And that education, what it made us? To wear torn jeans and to wear patched jeans and to become drunkards, to become drug addicts, to become rapists, and young girls being raped. Is that what education is all about? So Allah has given us clear our direction, and the solution to all of it is that we control our tongue. Spend our time at home, not on the phone at home, with the family. Quality time, we talk about it all, but we don't give time to the family and cry over our sins. And to cry is not easy. We have to develop that. And then cry over our sins and see, in spite of all this bleak picture and this fitness and the what way, new world order and whatever else we can think about, Allah will protect us. And Allah will make us fitna proof. And we won't have any problem. May Allah give us all tawfiq.